Welcome to this week's episode of Dylan's Podcast, where I'm just chatting about a bunch of stuff, mostly as a result of chatting with entrepreneurs. And this episode is really based around growing your business and what you need to know about the difference between debt and equity. This is something that I've spent years talking about, but had just a series of back-to-back conversations since the last episode, and thought maybe I could find a way to create some sort of a framework that you can use, that I've used anyway, to understand how you can think about growing your business, and basically focused on debt and equity, because those are the two different types of ways that you end up paying for growth. And I think it's important to note, just as you listen to this episode, where my context comes from, and given all of the things that I've done over my career and all the things that I've learned, I've really come to appreciate sort of a biblical framework for how I think about growing a business. And in particular, if you're familiar with the Bible, there's a parable that Jesus tells about bags of gold. And to one person got five and turned it into five more. Another person got two, turned it into two more. And then there was someone that got one bag and did nothing with it. And so there's a lot of thoughts around that. But that basic idea of taking what you have and being able to do something more with it is what's always driven me. And so I use that biblical framework. It's Matthew 25 verses 14 through 30, if you're interested in checking it out yourself. But I've also come to appreciate that growth doesn't come for free. And I found myself saying that a couple of times in this past week to a couple of entrepreneurs. And so I thought it would be a great opportunity to actually explain what that means, in hopes that maybe it can help somebody else out. And so, you know, debt and equity, just real quick, debt would be you borrowing money, so a loan or a line of credit, and you pay interest on it, but you get to keep and own all of the results that debt produces. So if you were able to borrow money, grow your business, you're able to keep all of those results, and the cost of doing that was really just the interest that you paid. On the other side, the other way you pay for growth is equity. So typically that looks like getting a partner or an investor, and instead of them charging you interest to use the capital, you end up giving them a piece of profit or a piece of ownership. So you kind of trade off that profit and ownership with interest in making your decision. So then what are some of the ways to think about it? Well, I think it's important, first of all, to talk about there's sort of two types of growth. There's growth that you know is coming because you've done a good job at planning out your business, and you are systematically growing through your business quarters. So one type of growth is you can see it coming. The other type of growth really is where I think most business owners operate, and it's the kind of growth where it's already happening and it catches you off guard. You can't really pinpoint the moment that it happened, but you are clearly growing, and now you're finding that life is not quite as simple as it used to be. And so no matter which type of growth you find yourself in, neither of them are free. Somehow growth has to be paid for. And really the reason that growth has to be paid for, the reason I say it like that, is because very, 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 very few businesses that I would say the majority of business owners run out in the world are able to grow just out of their cash flow. And the reason for that is because you have to prepay a bunch of expenses in order to capture the revenue that comes from growing. So for example, you have to prepay your employees. You have to, you have to pay your employees, you have to buy inventory, you have to purchase materials. And all of that has to happen in order for your business to earn revenue. And so somehow you have to pay for that if you're growing. And when a business is growing month over month, quarter over quarter, even if you have a very healthy margin business, it's still very difficult to turn that cash in real time and pay for those expenses. So at some point you're going to need to borrow money, either through a loan or a line of credit, to facilitate your growth, or you're going to have to find an investor or some form of equity where you're not going to pay interest, but you're going to use the money, and then whatever results that money generates means you're going to have to give up a piece of the business or a piece of the eventual profit. And so how do you decide? How does Dylan think through, third person, how does Dylan think through which one to go with? Do you go with debt or do you go with equity? And what are some rules? Well, the rules that I use are pretty simple. And I think of it more like certainty versus uncertainty. So if, for example, in the simplest of examples, if I know I have a purchase order from a customer that says, I will buy all of these widgets from you if you can deliver them to me. Well, that is as certainty gets in business without actually having the money in your bank account. And so for a decision like that, there's no point finding an investor and giving up a piece of my margin or a piece of equity or a piece of ownership, because there's no risk really being taken. All we're doing is trying to bridge the gap that exists between where I am right now in not being able to take advantage of that sale and where I will be once I'm able to purchase all of the things that I need to purchase in order to deliver on that order. So in a situation like that, I would borrow money. I would borrow money because I know with some degree of certainty what the future is going to look like. And so the cost of interest is really just the cost of doing business in this example. And so I would have no problem at all borrowing. Now, on the other side, as some of you might know, I'm building a marketplace right now connecting low-skilled workers with construction companies, and the future of this business is very uncertain. I mean, we are still actually figuring out what the business model is, how does it work properly, how do we grow properly, how do we attract? Like, there's just so many things that we are trying to figure out that if I were to borrow a bunch of money right now, I don't think that would be a very wise decision because there's no point at which I know I'm going to get it back. Most borrowing has some kind of a term on it. So if I were to get a term loan, say for 3 to 5 years, I don't know that in 3 to 5 years, first of all, I don't know if the marketplace is going to work. I don't know if it's going to work enough to repay that debt that I've taken. But generally speaking, if I've taken the debt, then usually I have to provide personal guarantees. And so when the future is uncertain, then it makes sense to spread that risk around or share that risk with other people that are prepared to take the risk with you and get the benefit that comes with taking that risk. And so that means if we're successful, then I give up a piece of ownership, I give up a piece of future profits, but the trade-off is that I don't put myself on the hook today for not being able to, for having to say commit to borrowing money and making sure 100% of it gets repaid. With investors, they would take that risk with me. We would all work collectively to get the best result possible. But if for some reason we weren't, then that's the price of taking the risk. Whereas with debt, if I'm wrong and the idea doesn't work out, then I'm still stuck paying the obligation. And so I generally think, I try to look at decisions through the lens of certainty versus uncertainty. Do I have a high degree of certainty that I know when this money is going to be available, or do I not know when this money is going to be available? And if I don't know, then I would consider more of an equity type structure for paying for my growth versus if I do know, then it would just simply be borrowing money to fill the gap that exists between where I am now and where I will be when a series of things have come together. And so I've also found it helpful. And so part of what I found myself saying in this past week was, how are you going to pay for your growth? And this was something that I had shared with these business owners and these entrepreneurs that I was talking with. Sorry, a little sip of coffee there. But the other thing that even is more important than that, or I have found it to be more important, again, using that biblical framework, it becomes apparent that you do have to have kind of a context for what you're trying to do with your business, meaning, why are you trying to grow? Like, what's the point of growing? So I know a handful of entrepreneurs really well that just grow. You know, they just wake up every day, they do their thing, and they hire more people, and they just try to grow, but they don't really have a goal. And so when they hit difficult moments in their cash flow, they tend to freak out a little bit because they hadn't planned for it, they hadn't anticipated for it, they hadn't kind of put some context around what they're trying to do with their business. And so you kind of fly by the seat of your pants, you just sort of figure it out as you go, and it creates a huge degree of chaos, and that chaos is hard to manage. But when you have context, so for example, if you say, I know ultimately my goal is to sell my business. You know, I haven't really picked the year and I haven't really picked the amount, but I do know I want to sell my business one day. Even just saying that out loud begins a process of you thinking through, if you're committed to it, of thinking through, well, what would that mean? If I was going to sell, then someone who wants to buy my business probably needs to know that I know how to acquire customers. I know how to manage them. I have a certain amount of inventory. I have some assets. Am I keeping track of those assets? Do I know what my hours are on those pieces of equipment that I like? You by virtue of thinking about it, or setting your goal as I'm going to sell my business, you begin working backwards to say, then what should I be doing today to facilitate that? You might also say in the one instance I talked through this week, the lady had said, look, I just want to go and acquire some other smaller businesses, package them up, and then maybe someone comes along who's bigger than me, and for all of the work that I did, they come and buy me out because it's part of their overall strategic plan. And so as we then were talking through, well, then how are you going to pay for growth? It gave us some context to have a productive conversation around, okay, well, do I borrow money? Do I keep using my own cash to do this? Do I maybe throttle our growth plans a little bit? And instead of go, 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 maybe I become more intentional about my growth. Or in some cases, growth just looks like I just want a business that generates cash. And eventually I'm just going to wind it down. In which case, then growing through the cycles of when times are good and when times are bad, you can be more measured in the business decisions that you make. But ultimately, the context helps reduce the chaos that comes from understanding we know growth is coming or we're right in the middle of it, and how are we going to pay for it? Do I take my personal net worth and borrow against it to try and facilitate a better result? Or do I say, you know what, I've reached my gag limit. I can't put any more of my own net worth at risk. I'd like to now bring some people along for the ride. And when you have context, it helps you work through those things, because debt, you have to repay it. Pretty simple. But with equity, one of the hardest things to do with investors is figure out how are they going to get a return. If you've run a small business and you've run it for any amount of time, you would know it's really, really difficult to actually take cash out of your business. A business that has sort of grown and plateaued, much easier to do. Accountant, lawyer, that's pretty straightforward because you don't need to keep turning the cash back into your business. But for the rest of us that don't run professional services businesses, we generally always need our cash. We need to buy more materials. We need to buy more equipment. We need to buy more inventory. We need to maybe hire some people. So we're constantly turning cash in our business, turning it back into our business. And that makes it very hard to take it out of our business. So once you bring an investor along, then it raises the question, well, how does an investor get their cash out of your business? First of all, you're a private business, and private businesses are generally very hard to work with anyway. But are you going to give them a dividend? Are you going to give them profit at the end of every quarter? Are you going to ask them to invest in your business and 5 years from now, they're going to get their money out? I have firsthand experience with this, where I have taken on investors in the past. And it's pretty easy to get into business together with investors and with partners. But when life doesn't work out, and it's fair to say that generally that's going to be the case, it's very hard to get out of partnerships and out of investments, because when things don't work out quite the way you think they're going to work out, then people get scared. And fear is a real problem that drives a lot of people's actions and decisions. And it becomes very, very messy. And so I've been in situations where I've had partnerships. I have personally repaid any funds that came out of a partnership that didn't work out, even though that's not how it was structured. And I've done that for several personal reasons. But as a business owner, you do want to think through, if I'm going to go find an investor, I could probably get someone very excited about investing in my business. But I also need to be practical about it and say, how am I going to get them their money back? Is it a dividend? Quarterly profit, sometime in the next couple of years, we'll just sell and they'll get a big check. Like, what is that ultimately going to look like? And so context matters, because it helps you understand how you're going to get that money back, be it debt or investors. And then if you're going to go down the investor route, then you have a couple of other things that you need to think through, like how am I going to make this worth it for them? I found myself saying to an entrepreneur last week, I said, you know, investors generally, you know, kind of an easy way to think through what kind of a return does an investor want. You know, they can invest in treasury bills or government bonds, and they can get, I don't know, a couple percentage points, you know, 2 to 5% a year, say. So if you're going to make your investment worthwhile, you know, my logic has always been, they've got to be able to get double digit returns. They've got to be able to get 12%, 15%, 18%, 20% return on their money in order for them to agree to take the risk with you. And lots of business owners that have ever had this type of a conversation with have always pushed back, because they've always said, oh, that's ridiculous. I run an amazing business and they should just be grateful to be given the opportunity to work with me. Okay, well, good luck raising cash. But if you're more humble about it, I think, and more practical, you can understand that people, you know, he with the gold or she with the gold makes the rules. And when they're in that position, they are looking to get a return. And so as an entrepreneur, you have to be able to articulate what that return is going to be for all of the work you decide not to do to answer that question. Just creates more work when things don't work out on the back end. And now investors are saying, hey, business owner, I put a bunch of money in. How am I getting it back? Well, I'm going to sue you, or I'm going to, you know, and you're going to say, well, but you took the risk with me. But, you know, we didn't have a conversation about what happens if this doesn't work out or what your expectations are. So you've really got to do a great job articulating to investors how they are going to get a return and then ultimately how they're going to get their money back. And the truth is, that's kind of the same conversation you're having with a bank. When you think about it, the bank is just saying, you know, ultimately, we're going to give you this money because you meet our lending criteria. We're going to, how are we going to get paid? We're going to charge you interest, probably going to charge you some loan origination fees or some commitment fees. And then how are we going to get it back? Well, it's simple. This is a five-year term. In 5 years, this whole thing has to be repaid. If not, we're going to take whatever assets we've used to secure this loan, including your business, including maybe your home. So even though it might sound unnecessary to have this type of a dialogue with an investor, the truth is, if you have to pay for growth anyway, there's only two ways to pay for it, debt and equity. And if you choose not to articulate all of these things with investors, well, then you're going to be forced to articulate them with banks and lenders who are going to lend you money and give you debt. So part of the way, once you know, again, my hope is that by the time you're done listening to this, you've got a framework for thinking about growth in your business. So the first thing is, what's the context? Why are you growing? Is it just uninhibited growth and you're just growing for the sake of growing? Or does it fit a larger context? The context being you have a very clear objective to what you're doing with your business. You're either going to sell it, you're going to grow it and acquire other companies, or you're just going to use it to generate cash. So once you've decided kind of what the context is, then you have to say to yourself, okay, now, how am I going to pay for it? I'm going to borrow money because the future has a degree of certainty. So I just need to get from here to there. Or I'm going to give up some of the equity and ownership and future profit in my business because the future is uncertain. And in order to make it attractive, here's what the return is going to look like for investors. Here's how I'm going to pay them back. And then kind of the last piece to stick in there is just what the milestones are. So how do you know that these things are working? How do you know that you're getting closer to whatever that ultimate goal is? And how do you know that the way you paid for it is in fact working? Are you making your monthly payments? Is it fairly easy to do? If you went the investor route, are you giving monthly updates or quarterly updates? And are your investors happy with the progress that you're making? What does that look like? So there are milestones to put in place. And for me, I've generally used, I tend to be a little bit more nerdy with the math. So the milestones I use have evolved over time. And I'll give you an example. In my construction company, we went from saying our milestones are generating X amount of revenue per month. And this was because during COVID, that seemed to be just the simplest milestone to use to keep everybody on track. And then as we evolved, that ended up morphing over time to a place where today, 3 years later, we use a per working day gross margin goal. So it sounds something like, in order for us to take on a project or to forecast what we're doing into the future to the end of the year, we're looking to average out X amount of dollars per working day of the year. And the reason that's important is because it has given our team a very simple metric from which they can base all of their estimating and ultimately how they're spending their time. You know, if project A is going to generate X amount of dollars per working day, gross margin, so meaning, you know, what we charge less what it costs us to earn that revenue, so whatever's left to pay for expenses, So it's not profit. It's the money before we've paid for our office and our office supplies and some, you know, our business doesn't have a lot of G&A. Most of our stuff is all related to jobs, but it gave our guys, it gave our team rather a very simple metric to say, if Project A is going to generate us say $1,000 per working day and Project B is going to generate us $2,000 per working day, then obviously we're going to use the $2,000 per working day. And again, we use working day as opposed to calendar day because it has just been the best milestone for us to use because it fits the way we talk about our business. And so for you, as you grow, you do have to have some context. It's not unusual that an entrepreneur or a business owner doesn't have a milestone. They don't have like that single thing that they're working towards. And so not having it just means that there's more likely than not a bunch of chaos in the business. But when you have these milestones, something like, you know, a dollar amount per working day or a dollar amount per week. I was involved in another business and we had a weekly goal. So we had said, you know, our goal is to make sure that we're generating $30,000 of gross revenue per week. The business was pretty predictable. And then now we start to measure our progress by, were we able to get to 31 or 32? And then it gives us crazy conversations like, well, what would it take to get to 45? And at first we couldn't answer that question, but the more we talked about it, we realized, wait a minute, if we did this and we did that, whoa, now we get to 45 quite easily. Boom, we were able to put it together. In the construction business, same thing. You know, at a dollar amount per working day, in a marketplace right now that is really busy and full, it's helped us understand which projects we want to bid really hard to win, which ones we're not going to bid really hard to win, and then just which ones, if we set the price and we get it, we're prepared to take it for that price. So you got to have some milestones. So once you've created the context, what are we ultimately trying to do here? Sell it, grow it, acquire others, just use it as a cash machine. Then the second thing we need to say is, okay, how are we going to pay for growth then? If our future is certain, do we just borrow against our future? Which in the case of a business generating $30,000 a week, 31, 32, our future is pretty certain. So we went the debt route. Whereas in a business where you're not really sure, like our labor platform, or rather our marketplace business, we'd never borrow debt for that business because the future is uncertain. So we would take equity. So how are you going to pay for it? Debt or equity? And then once you figured out how you're going to pay for it, then you put in place milestones that you can measure your progress against. And that allows for the overall chaos in the business to not be chaotic, but be just normal course of business decisions that you need to make. And it helps you to understand what is the best use of your time, because you can't be doing 10 things at 10% and getting a 100% result. At some point, you just got to say, where as an owner is my time best spent? And so I think just as a kind of, as I tie off here, I'll give you just a personal anecdote. I ran a pretty successful independent mortgage brokerage. We did residential mortgage brokerage, commercial mortgage brokerage. We were one of the largest brokerages in the country, non-franchised or non-flag, so completely independent. And I pretty much ran the business in exactly all of the ways that don't encompass anything I talked about today. So we happened to be catching the tide of the market. So at first I thought I was just really smart because our business was growing and we simply happened to be in the right city at the right time during the right several years where we just caught the wave of what was going on. So that was the first mistake. I thought I was special. Turns out I wasn't that special. But then I just started adding people. And because I had no idea how cash was moving around my business, I just figured we were growing and that was good. And there seemed to be money moving through the bank account. And so life was wonderful. And then we hit the skids. I could see that I wasn't collecting cash fast enough from commissions in order to pay for the people I was continuing to hire, because we continued to have more people that wanted mortgages. And so it became like this treadmill. And so because the future was uncertain, I ended up borrowing debt, not taking equity, but borrowing debt. And when the business didn't work out because of the financial crisis, it took years to pay that debt off. There's some nuance to all of that, but generally speaking, I did exactly the wrong thing. I took an uncertain future and I borrowed against it with my personal balance sheet, and that was an incredibly stupid move. And then when the business did hit the skids, because the future was uncertain, I ended up going to get an investor who I think simply just felt sorry for me, came into the business, and we simply couldn't turn the business around. The market just didn't return after the financial crisis to where it was before the financial crisis, but the investor and I had gotten into business together because we had assumed things would just go back to where they were, and they never did. And then that became a very messy relationship to untangle. And so I can speak from firsthand experience that this is not, this is not me just theorizing. This is me sharing with you how I have made the wrong decisions in growing and how I can arrive at sharing the things I've shared with you today. I was involved in a business that was in the renovation business, in the renovation marketplace, a wonderful business owned by some wonderful guys that did a really great job of figuring out how to do their thing really well. But as they grew, they were growing because they were so great at sales and marketing, but the back end of their business really wasn't there at all. And so not only did they not know how to pay for growth, they didn't realize that with every new sale they were doing, they were losing money. And so by the time I got there, there was just a ton of work to do to kind of slam the brakes on a little bit, try to collect cash, first of all, because we needed to build up our cash. And then ultimately that business simply didn't work out. There were some extenuating circumstances why that happened, but in general, this was another business that just took off and for years just ran, and growing quarter over quarter over quarter over quarter. And there is a point at which growth does start to choke you because you can't turn the cash fast enough to keep up with what's going on. And in this particular case, that didn't work out either. So personally, I've just witnessed this, and I have more stories. If you want, email me, dylan@bridgecap.ca, and I'd be happy to share with you some more stories. But I can share with you that for sure, growth is not free. It does come at a cost. It's better to know that cost ahead of time instead of while you're in the middle of it. Once you've figured out whether your growth is with a degree of certainty or uncertainty, then you can figure out if debt or equity works better for you. And then you just drop some milestones in place to make sure that you keep yourself on track. So my hope was that this episode would give you a framework to consider growth, that it might answer some very basic questions for you about, do I borrow money? Do I take on investors? What's kind of my best move? And has given you maybe some tactics to think through as well. If you found this helpful, subscribe, give a thumbs up, ring the bell, leave a review, whatever you can do, because when you do that, this gets in front of other business owners that could benefit from this as well. I do this because I enjoy sharing what I'm learning. I've gotten to meet some really great entrepreneurs doing some very cool things that have helped me in my businesses. And so if you would like to connect, please do. I'm easy to find on LinkedIn and in the show notes and so forth. You'll be able to get in touch with me. And thanks for hanging out, and hopefully we'll do it again.